Good morning. This is Chris Andre, and you're listening to Community Radio, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Thanks for joining us. This is filling in for Earthwatch today. As many listeners probably know, every year for 2 weeks, the power brokers of the world get together in Northern California on the Russian River at Bohemian Grove, and basically they cut deals. I'm going to be talking this morning with one of the organizers of an action that takes place up in the Rio Monte every year, and on the first Saturday, which is when the Bohemian Grovers perform their cremation of dull care, which is one of the central events at Bohemian Grove. I am Mary Moore is the organizer of Bohemian Grove Action Network, and Bill Hackwell is also a participant and an organizer, and he's with the Answer Coalition. This morning we are very, very fortunate to be joined on the air by Bill Hackwell, who I believe we have on the line right now. Is that correct? Hello, Bill?
Yes, thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. This morning we want to kind of talk about Bohemian Grove and how your action went, and touch on some general globalization.
Sure.
Themes. I saw something on the Associated Press wire just now that Israeli stocks have gone up significantly on U.S. exchanges, as well, very obviously as a result of the aggression against Lebanon going on right now. I cannot help but, think of the phrase, follow the money. That's almost always, in my experience, proved to be very good advice. And tell us a little bit, though, about Bohemian Grove and following the money.
Well, it's an interesting gathering. It's been going on since the late 1800s. And really what it is, it's sort of this playground out in the woods for the richest of the rich. And, as obscene as the obscene amount of money that they have is bad enough. But really, it's more than that, because these are, as you mentioned, the policymakers that affect the world from, markets to globalization to war. And they really do all kind of gather there. There hasn't been a Republican president who hasn't been a member of Bohemian Grove there. That doesn't mean that it's just Republicans. It's Republicans and Democrats alike who get to network amongst themselves and have carved out this pristine 2,700 acres of old-growth redwood. So it's very ironic that, while they're sitting there marveling these, trees, some of them 1,500 years old, they, are responsible for policy that has laid waste to much of the environment in the world today. So, it's really the people that are there are not just people with a lot of money. They really are the power brokers of the imperialist power brokers is what they are. And so we have, the Bohemian Grove Action Network for the past 27 years has had demonstrations there of one sort or another just to try to bring attention to what goes on there in these 2 weeks in July. And, it's a very remote area, and not that it's hard to get to, but it's not an urban setting for a demonstration. The Answer Coalition, this year, we sort of amped up the forces and, we had buses that came in from San Francisco, as well as, there was a bus that came down from, Garberville that was organized by the Veterans for Peace. And then there were cars that came from all over Northern California. And, I know that you're experiencing up there, this heat that can only be, symptomatic of global warming. On that day along the Russian River, on Saturday, it was at least 120 degrees, but there still were hundreds of people that came out for the protest.
Hundreds. Wonderful.
And we looked at it as, very significant from the point of view of, organizations getting to network, not only protesting these war criminals and corporate heads, but, but really as a way to, you know, to network amongst organizations, to start planning to work together more and stuff like that. It was really great. And what the philosophy of the Answer Coalition ever since, you know, the upsurge of the and the emergence, if you will, of the immigrant rights movement, we've been trying to figure out ways on a grassroots level, on a day-to-day level, of how we were going to merge the anti-war movement with the immigrant rights movement, which is a, you know, which is really a civil rights movement. And we think of this as a model that would be that can be successful based on what happened during the Vietnam War, when there was really the merging of the civil rights movement with the anti-war movement that was, you know, really was instrumental in bringing that war to a halt.
Yeah, that was the driving force.
It really was. Well, along with the Vietnamese resistance, of course. But, you know, this was very good because out there on Saturday were, you know, anti-war activists along with, you know, a lot of immigrant rights people. In fact, the United Farm Workers, the regional area up in Sonoma, which is Sonoma County, which is a very, you know, it's very, very rich area because of the wine producing. You know, they've actually, you know, started a boycott of one of Mondavi wines and Charles Krug wines for unfair labor practices. They fired a bunch of the, you know, the workers who had been, you know, working there for, you know, years and years and years, and replaced them with subcontractors to be able to get around paying for benefits. So they were there, and it was a very good mix of, you know, the because we've had to add a new, you know, a new place for the U.S. to get out of. We said, you know, end the occupation from Palestine to Iraq to Lebanon, and boycott Charles Mondavi wines. I mean, you know, it was really you know, broad representation of people who were there. So we were very, very, very pleased with that. And we were able to march, you know, from our rally site, you know, across the Russian River and into the Grove, which is very, for those of us who, you know, work on large demonstrations in the cities against the war, it's really a unique experience because here you are walking down this very tiny road with red, with these magnificent redwoods all around you and, you know, going towards the entrance to the to that place. Now, what happened was, is when we got there, there were just hundreds of California Highway Patrol who prevented us from going any further. But we were able to, you know, generate enough noise that I'm sure that we could be heard on the inside.
And the community around where this this action takes place around Monte Rio, what kind of support do you have locally?
Well, there's a lot of environmentalists and peace and justice people up in that area, and they were very supportive. You know, it isn't unanimous, but certainly, you know, with the sentiment in the U.S. now, so much for the ending of the war, the majority sentiment, that's reflective here as well. And, you know, our challenge as organizers is to try to take that disgruntlement, the people being, you know, fed up with the direction that U.S. policy is going, not just, you know, foreign policy, but also, you know, the policies here in the U.S., which is, you know, all about, you know, criminalizing immigrants, you know, cutbacks in good-paying jobs, you know, the, you know, 50,000 people who in this 50 million people in the country who don't have any health care benefits, just that direction and the continued polarization of wealth, you know, that is an ongoing feeling that's bubbling right below the surface. People have a gut feeling that things are not right, and we need to take that and get people to take that next step to become, you know, into the movement, to feel that they can make a change. If people sit on the sidelines and feel like, oh, you know, the Bush administration is just terrible, but what can you do? You know, our feeling in the Answer Coalition is that, well, you don't, you know, necessarily want to rely on voting, because that's really never changed anything. You get to pick between every 4 years, you know, between one rich white representative of the ruling class for another one.
And it doesn't matter anyway, because it's whoever, the whoever counts the actual votes anyway. I have that sense.
Yeah, yeah, the whole thing.
It's rigged
from the get-go, and we just feel that the only way, and history shows us this, is to build mass movements from the ground up.
Yes, and especially now, it seems that in order to have the previously unheard of extreme wealth, it's necessary to have a concomitant extreme poverty on a scale that is just absolutely stupefying. And one way to achieve both of those goals, the extreme wealth and the extreme poverty, is to, if not actually precipitate wars, then certainly to stand by and allow conflict to happen.
Yeah. And we know that what's going on in the Middle East with the invasion and now occupation of Lebanon, this could not be taking place without the U.S.'s wholesale support of Israel through
which they've finance. Actually they've come straight out and said it. They passed a resolution last week.
Yeah, they're proud of it.
They're proud of it.
And you know, meanwhile, hundreds of innocent Lebanese civilians are being killed, and no one in the U.S. government seems to care about that, because they have their own design about what they want the Middle East to look like. And this is something that we, on an emergency basis, really need to be out there protesting against it. In fact, one of the themes of the demonstration on Saturday was the Answer Coalition has called for emergency demonstrations on August 12th. They'll be taking place in, I think the closest one to you, there'll be one in Seattle, also one in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and in Washington, D.C. And we think if things continue the way they're going, these demonstrations could be very important and very large. And people should check out to get more details on that, they should go to the Answer website, which is answercoalition.org. And they can find out where the nearest demonstration is to them.
And we'll have all that information at the front desk, too, for listeners who want to participate in that action, which I think many people talk about being, burnt out or just can't participate. How do we keep on top of the whole situation? But this is something that is very important, and I think in talking with you and with Mary Moore and following this, the activities going on up on the Russian River, your neck of the woods, Bohemian Grove, it seems that one of the things about your particular protest up there was it was not so much different groups with different agendas, but it was more about the connections between these agendas, the way I think people are amongst the progressive community are beginning to see it, that it's not so much these different agendas that are keeping us from solidarity, which would probably be more effective, but really it's the connections between, because you've told me about a number of these different groups, and I'm very happy to hear that happen.
Yeah, it's a common, we have a common enemy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And to broaden the movement, to bring in all the different issues, is important. I mean, for instance, the frustration that everyone has every time they fill up their gas tank has to be turned into a political observation, and that is that, all the oil companies, the energy companies, had record profits while we were being gouged at the pumps. They were making, $10-15 billion a quarter. I'm talking about Exxon, Shell, mm-hmm. and the other, there's only a few real oil companies left, but they were making such money that there has to be a question that's asked, is how come, if the government was truly representative, why wouldn't they be doing something about that?
Because war is good for business.
Yeah.
That's why Israeli stocks are way up on U.S. exchanges today. I have a quick question for you about the events going on actually inside Bohemian Grove. They have, I understand, their tradition of lakeside talks, which are basically... a forum for the generation of policy and decisions mm-hmm. that the rest of us are probably going to have to live with, unless, of course, we do stand up. Have you any sense of what some of the lakeside talks were
about
this year?
Well, there's been some very important talks that have been real indicators in the past. I mean, in 1942, the Oppenheimer Group was there, and they were, you know, that was really when the discussion was about how they were going to turn the new energy, nuclear energy, into being able to produce nuclear weapons. That took place there. During the Reagan administration, Caspar Weinberger came up with a whole new tool in post, you know, Soviet Union, the new post Soviet Union world, is how they were going to retool the, you know, the military. Very important, you know, things. Now, apparently next weekend, Colin Powell is speaking up there. And, you know, exactly what comes out, we don't know. But we know it's not going to be good. and so, you know, it is a place for them to, you know, network, just like we were networking on the outside. So, it's a time for them to be able to, be as far away from the people whose lives they most affect, to sort of talk candidly amongst themselves.
What sort of media coverage did you get? Did the local stations carry the story?
Yeah, you know, the weeklies and local press up there in Sonoma County was very favorable to our demonstration. We were also picked up by Reuters and AP, so it became a national story as well.
But and the sense that you had when you were up there, the media, do you figure they fairly reported? Because we saw, of course, the stories on the news wires, but do you figure they were fair in their reporting?
Well, it's interesting because, I don't know if you're familiar with Project Censored, which comes out of
Sonoma
State.
Oh, very much so. Yes, we're very much so.
With Peter Phillips.
Peter's
just finished a very extensive social study of AP bias, showing, how they, just their lack of coverage in certain stories, how that twists the perceived reality.
We confront it every day here in the newsroom.
Sure.
It's a fact of life that we, more or less, everybody that edits news sort of says, well, you know.
And, of course, one of the things for the demonstrations that always happens is it's a battle of numbers, and people say, well, why should it care? And our feeling on that is numbers should be given accurately because people who come out want to be counted. I mean, that's
the whole idea.
That's the whole idea. And many times it's vastly underreported. The AP story did say that there were hundreds of demonstrators there. I had a long talk with the AP reporter, and he was somewhat sympathetic. And it's interesting about the corporate media is when you talk with the cameramen and the reporters and stuff, they have their own personal views, and many times they're progressive views because they get to see so much. But once it gets to the decision makers in those corporations, that's where it all changes. But the AP, but giving them, you know, once one little pass here, is that the AP story was not that bad.
It's interesting to find out about what the real story actually is behind what the stories that come over the news wire. So this year, you figure, tell me what you think of more accurate number of people who turned out.
Oh, I think that the number was between 300 and 400 that were there.
I've been up there myself, and I just want to confirm to listeners, this is pretty remote. It's in, you know, heavily wooded. It's a very rural area. And that's a good number of people to turn out.
Yeah, it is, because it's like there's very little limited public transportation out in that area. And, people had to somehow get a ride and stuff. So people, to come to it, people really had to make an effort. And it was, it was a very determined crowd. It was a crowd that was really there for, they just didn't casually show up. They showed up because they really wanted to be there.
Were any was there any sort of contact between your groups and the participants at the Grove? Because I understand that they sometimes go into town for various reasons. And
yeah, you know, I don't. We didn't. I mean, it's a class apart. And, you know, what happens to them is they fly into the Santa Rosa airport, they're put on limousines and whisked into the Grove, and most of the time they're inside. In Monte Rio, the town is very, very small. There's like one general store, one theater, one bar, and that's about it. So I think the interaction has been very limited over the years. Now some people have actually gotten in. You know, Peter Phillips did his doctorate dissertation on the dynamics of inside the Grove when he got in there 1 year.
And I believe John Ronson, too.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, I mean, there has been some reportage on it. I mean, there's also been stories that have come out of there that don't really help the struggle. And those are stories that, you know, that talk about, well, they sacrificed children and stuff like that. You know, that just... You know, for those kind of stories to be floating around, all that does is distract people from the real issue, and that is these people are in there and they are creating policy that, you know, that affects the world in a dramatic way. And that has to be the focus. It has to be a political focus, not sort of like something that's, you know, steeped in myth and, whatever.
So it's not really. There has been some degree, in my observation, of sensationalism surrounding the whole thing. But what really ought to make people's jaws drop is what comes out of it. It's not so much what goes on inside the Grove as its impact on the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Do you have any sense of some of the themes this year? Do you have any idea of what?
No, I mean, they have their own little cottage groups, and it's their own little, you know, it's almost a little feudal model of different power groups and stuff. But I have no idea. I mean, I think that we can see, you know, based on the direction that the U.S. is going in, I think we can see pretty much, you know, what they're talking about based on that.
Yeah, indeed. That's certainly worth pointing out again. When I read the stories about the Bohemian Grove events and the protest and some of the policies that we actually see in action, and think about the follow the money, it really occurs to me that globalization is the ultimate goal of globalization. Of course, is war profiteering. Really, I mean, it seems to really. At a certain point, boiled down to that.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the you know, the neoliberal model, which has been around since after World War II, but was really accelerated in the last, you know, 20 years, is, you know, it's receiving a lot of resistance. And you can see especially in Latin America where, you know, they're lining themselves up amongst themselves to be economically independent of that model, because all that has done has just put all the poor countries in such debt that they'll never be able to dig out of. And we welcome that, because that is a, you know, an important opposition. And once again, it's sort of like these progressive and liberal governments in Latin America who just see that they can't govern if they're going to follow the U.S. So they're really being pushed by the mass organizations beneath them. And we think that that's a very good direction.
Yeah, there's a sense of struggle going on now that I don't think that was present before. Well, I guess the last few years, I think people watched, and some watched, you know, some watched and gloated, and others watched in horror as institutions that had been around for a very long time and had served to great, great benefit for many people are being gradually dismantled, and in some cases not gradually, but, you know, really an alarming rate.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about the action. It's going to be on, you said, in August 12th.
August 12th, yeah.
In Seattle.
You know, there's going to be national demonstrations, and these are being put together very, very quickly in Washington, D.C., in Seattle, Los Angeles, and also San Francisco, and perhaps other places too. But we just feel that we can't wait, you know, for whatever, school to be back in or whatever, that we need. We really need to come out and in a mass way to show our opposition to what's going on in the Middle East. What is an expansionist land grabbing by Israel, backed by the U.S., who really wants to have total, you know, economic and political dominance of the region. And we have to stand up and say no to that, and say no to what's going on in Lebanon, Palestine, and Iraq. You know, we've called all along in the anti-war movement to bring the troops home now, because, you know, the U.S. can never be part of the solution of that region, not in the interest of the people that live there. And if they don't, you know, if we don't stand up in opposition, they feel like, you know, they can live with the polls. Even if the polls are going against them, they can live with that. But it's when people are active and get in the street, that's when they take notice. And that's what changed things. And that's why we say people should find out, you know, the closest demonstration to them and go to it. And they should go to the Answer Coalition website. That's answercoalition.org, and find out the latest on demonstrations in their area.
And we are now coming up on 11 o'clock, and I'd just like to thank my guest this morning who joined us at more or less the 11th hour, Bill Hackwell of Answer Coalition. We've been talking to you this morning. Thank you so much. Talked about globalization and Bohemian Grove and war, money, and some of the forces that are to be dealt with. If you'd like to add anything else, just briefly, in the last 2 seconds?
Just, you know, people shouldn't be discouraged, and think, you know, history changes quickly. So I just encourage people to get involved wherever they can.
Thank you so much for joining us, Bill Hackwell. This is KBOO, your community radio station in Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. My name's Chris Andre, and I'm in for Scott Forrester for Earthwatch today. Thanks so much for joining us. Next time, we hope to have other guests on who and would like to take calls from listeners. It is coming right up on 11 o'clock now. It is 10:59 in the morning, and thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, where the time is 11 o'clock. KBOO needs your help to mail out our monthly listener guide. Come down to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue anytime today. We hope to wrap it up about 4 p.m. Call 503-231-8032 for more information. And now, Democracy Now!
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.